Today, we're going to talk about the conversion of the Apostle Paul. For years and years, I tell you the truth, I didn't understand Paul's conversion because I don't think I really read it closely. You know, we assume things and we get things through our teaching at church, and people have say various things, and we just accept it as being that's the way it is. And we never checked it out. And so the Apostle Paul used his conversion story to preach to the unbelievers, to tell them what happened to him. And we can see it and compare it with his story because he tells his conversion story three places in the New Testament. And I'd like for you to look for yourself and really consider what Paul is saying about his conversion. We find Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, in Acts 22, verses 6 through 16, and in Acts 26, verses 12 through 20. We're not going to take time. We don't have enough time in this session to read every account, but we will basically read and try to get the gist of his conversion. Okay, so I'm going to begin with Acts chapter 26, and I'm going to read probably most of the time from the NIV translation because it's just a little bit more understandable. But anyway, I'm going to read Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 12, and he's before Agrippa, and Paul is witnessing to King Agrippa about his Christian faith. And this is what he says. Acts 26 and verse 12, he says, on one of these journeys, this was when he was Saul of Tarsus and he was going about to imprison Christians or disciples of Jesus. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priest. The chief priests were high officials in Judaism. They gave Saul of Tarsus permission and letters to go into the synagogues if they found anybody that was a follower of Jesus, to arrest them, to imprison them, and even many of them were killed. And in verse 13, about noon, O king, as I was on the road on the way to Damascus, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun. It was blazing around me and my companions. And we fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew, or Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. The King James says kick against the pricks. The goad or the prick was a stick that was sharpened at the end of it, and they would poke animals, and it would really hurt the animals, but they did that to jab those animals to make a move. And basically Jesus is saying, Saul, Saul, don't you know this? That when you fight against me, you're only hurting yourself. You're being pricked with these goads. You've been pricked with these pricks. You're only hurting yourself. Then I ask in this revelation of Jesus on the Damascus Road, I ask, who are you? I've been persecuting these disciples and followers of Jesus. Who are you? Who's this voice that's speaking to me from heaven? Who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. You've had a revelation of me and you're going to tell that story. And I'm going to appear to you and show you many other things that you're going to proclaim among the nations as my witness, as my servant. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. The Jews are going to try to kill you. The Gentiles are trying to imprison you and kill you and slay you. And yet I am sending you like a lamb to the wolves. But I'm going ahead of you, Paul, and I'm going to protect you. And then Jesus gave this commission to what would to become the Apostle Paul. He says, you're going to bring enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment to people's spiritual eyes. He says, you're going to open their eyes and there's going to be a turn from darkness to light, a turn from sin to righteousness. There's going to be a turn from the power or authority of Satan to the power and authority of God in his kingdom. And when you turn, which is called repentance in the Bible, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and a place among those who are sanctified. That means set apart by their faith in Jesus. You're going to be a part of that group of people that you were persecuting. Verse 19, so then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. I obeyed what Jesus said. And this is what it said. First to those in Damascus, where he was going to arrest them. He went, instead of arresting them, he went into Damascus. And then he went to Jerusalem and in all Judea and then to the Gentiles also. And he preached, and this is what he preached, listen to me, that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds, by the things they do. Repent, Jesus said, for the kingdom of God has arrived. Repent, for the rule and the reign of God is here. Repent and prove your repentance by the things that you do. We don't call any people to have fruit. We say, well, you're saved by grace. It doesn't matter what you do. But you know what? Jesus, these words I'm reading here in all of this, Jesus is asking for fruit. He's asking not only for repentance and the preaching of repentance, but the proof of repentance, which are the deeds and actions and works that come forth from a changed heart. Almost identical to what John the Baptist preached. He said, bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. John the Baptist said in the preaching of the kingdom of God. Identical to what Paul is saying here. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But with God's help to this very day, I stand here and testify to the small and the great. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. And this is what the Old Testament said would happen. That the Messiah Christ would suffer, be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to his own people, the Jews, and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul. He shouted, your great learning has driven you insane, is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I'm saying is true and reasonable, and the king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? The King James says, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul replies, short time or long time, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, a follower of Jesus, except for these chains. I don't want you to have to be in chained and imprisoned. So here we see Paul's conversion. And it's a very interesting story. And since I don't have time to read, Acts 26, 12 through 20, and Acts 22, 6 through 16, I am going to turn to the Acts 22 passage. So if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 22, very interesting. Because I have always thought, and I don't know where I got this. I probably got it by going to church. I probably got it from, I don't know, maybe a pastor, or maybe I just thought it up myself. I got it in my head somewhere. That Paul or Saul was on his way to Damascus, and he had a revelation of Jesus. Now, that revelation of Jesus brought about repentance in Paul, didn't it? Of course it did. He got a commission from Christ, a commission to preach repentance, to turn from darkness, to turn to light, to turn from Satan, to turn to God, to receive the forgiveness of his sins. He had a revelation of Christ and a revelation of repentance. And as we read in other places in his testimony, then he was led by the hand because he was totally blind and went into Damascus. And for 3 days there, he fasted and he prayed. Who do you think he was praying to? He was praying to the true and living God. And his belief was in the Messiah. And here is a very interesting point that I have overlooked for so many years. In the 9th chapter, I am going to just read this one verse. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the one you're persecuting. And in verse 6, he says, and now get up, told Saul, or was going to become the Apostle Paul, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. You're going to be told what you must do. In other words, you're going to have some instructions from me through individuals, or an individual that I'm going to send to you, of what you must do now, Paul, at this point. You've had a revelation of me. You have made a turn to me. You're going to go into Damascus, and there you're going to pray and fast for 3 days. And then someone is going to be sent to you and is going to tell you what you must do. Now, I've always assumed that, boy, Paul's saved now because his sins have been forgiven because, well, he met the Lord, didn't he? And I guess he repented. It appears that he repented. And I just assume, like, boy, it's all, you know, everything's done. Maybe I got that understanding through the churches that I used to attend. I don't know. But I want you to notice what really is taking place here. If we turn to Acts 22, and we're going to begin at, verse 6. And some of this you've heard before because we've just read it. About noon, I came near Damascus, and suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And he replied, my companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who is speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I ask. There's repentance. There's a turning around in Saul's life to the Lord Jesus to follow and obey. That's repentance and faith. What shall I do now? What do you want me to do, Lord? I ask. And Jesus says, get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. Acts 9 said, 9:6 says, I'll tell you what you must do. And my companions led me by the hand into Damascus because of the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. See, here's a disciple in the book of Acts. There's theologies going around in all of these denominations and non-denominational churches and people that even claim to be, the true church and Reformed church, and they follow only the Bible and do all this stuff. But see here, a man sent a disciple called Ananias. He wasn't an apostle. Some people go, only the apostles. No, only apostles, signs and wonders and miracles. No, Ananias was just a follower of Jesus. Go to Saul, lay your hands on him for two purposes. It said in Acts 9, he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and he's going to be healed. And here we see it's coming through the laying on of hands. To receive your sight, if you compare the passages, he's going to lay his hands on him and Paul's going to be healed. When's the last time you heard a foundational teaching called the laying on of hands? It is a foundational doctrine of Christ. Did you know that Mark 16 says, "These signs shall follow the believer in my name, in the name of Jesus. We will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Not the apostles, the believer will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Boy, we've cast the one of the foundational doctrines of Christ. We've cast it out of the church and ignore it. So we have a powerless church because we practice not the foundational truths of Christ. It's amazing. But anyway, let's go on. In that very moment, he was able to see in verse 14 of Acts 22. Then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the words of his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you've seen and heard." And now I can't believe what I'm reading. This is the instruction that was given to Paul of what he must do. "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." The King James Version says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Well, I always thought that his sins were already forgiven. He had met the Lord on the Damascus Road. He made a turn to the Lord and his sins were forgiven. That's what I was told. I was told that baptism is only a symbol. It's just a symbol. And whether you do it or you don't, it doesn't really matter because it's only a symbol. We just use it for joining churches and removing my certificate or wherever my church is so that I can join this other church. No, it's not a symbol. He said, "Arise and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then the thought came to me. The early church called on the name of the Lord for a clear conscience and to wash their sins away as they went into the waters of baptism. Amazing, isn't it? Arise and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. Wash away your sins by being baptized, calling on his name. It was a way that the early church responded to the gospel, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He actually received the forgiveness of his sins at that moment when he obeyed and followed the Lord's command. It was his faith acting. It wasn't a dead faith. It was a living faith. I want you to consider those truths. And we're going to take this up next time as we consider the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts and how people responded to the message of Christ. God bless you.